710 ESPN's Verizon Wireless Lakers line is on the air. 877-710-ESPN. The Verizon Wireless Lakers line is brought to you by
Morongo Casino Resort. Come stay and play. MorongoCasinoResort.com.
Care More Medical. Help more. Heal more. Care more. It's what we do. Visit CareMore.com today.
Roger Dunn Golf Shops. The world's largest golf supermarkets. RDGolf.com.
Metro PCS. $40 period. Unlimited talk, text, web. Never sign a contract. $40 period. Metro PCS. Unlimit yourself.
Hollywood Park Casino. The best place to play in L.A. Play HPC.com.
U.S. Bank. Proud broadcast sponsor of Lakers basketball. Light up the lines. We're talking Lakers. Live from the ESPN zone at L.A. Live. Here are 710 ESPN's Brian Long and A. Martinez.
Artest unguarded. Inbounds to Gasol right side. Gasol hands to Kobe. Right wing against Antoine Wright. 5 seconds. Curling. Hanging. Shooting. And sticks it from the baseline. 1.9 seconds. Raptors inbound to Wright. His shot on the run. No good. The Lakers will survive this pesky Raptors team. The three-game losing streak is over as the Lakers win it 109-107. And you can chalk that one up as another all-time moment for Kobe Bryant. And boy, did his team need that tonight.
Never so happy to hear the I Love L.A. song raining down, A. Martinez. 109-107, the Lakers do win tonight, beating the Raptors. And as Spiro said, they were pushed to the brink. But at this point, every team is vying for that playoff spot. Every team is giving a playoff effort. And tonight, the Lakers outlasted, and they did beat this Raptors team. Brian Long, A. Martinez, we're live from the ESPN zone at LA Live. This is the Verizon Wireless Lakers line for the most reliable wireless for an affordable price. Get plans that work for you and your budget with Verizon Wireless, America's largest, most reliable wireless network. Interesting night tonight, A. Martinez, because at moments throughout this game, you certainly could take that first half, and John Ireland said it at halftime, that was about as bad a half of basketball as we've seen the Lakers play.
58 points for the Toronto Raptors, and there's all kinds of things we could nitpick about this win for the Lakers. Little things here and there that could all add up to a big picture. But Brian, after losing three in a row for the first time in 2 years, a span of 217 games, this is something that we are all unaccustomed to watch this team struggle over a couple of games like that. This is a win that you kind of just have to say, okay, great, it's done, the streak is snapped, let's move on. Because look, we could wallow in it and say, yeah, they need to play better defense, why couldn't they maintain the defensive pressure they put out there in the third quarter? But in the end, Kobe Bryant saved the day like he always does. They held off a pesky, better than we thought, Toronto Raptors team, and they got a win, and now they can move on to Phoenix on Friday.
Yeah, but you have to look at this game, and you know, we're in the business of sort of ripping it down and finding out how this team played and what sort of trends were happening. Kobe Bryant, 11 of 20, 32 points, 22 points for Andrew Bynum tonight in the effort. He was 8 of 12. Pau Gasol, 4 of 11, 17 points. Interesting night tonight. You saw that Bynum got about 10 or 11 more minutes than he got in the previous game. The end result, he played on better on both sides. Only 6 rebounds tonight, but a tad more aggressive, kind of building off what I was saying in that last game in Orlando. From a defensive standpoint, at least he started to find himself a bit, and he played better defensively tonight. Much better game for Andrew Bynum.
And Bynum has a good little opportunity here to run off a series of good games. They've got Phoenix on Friday, and there really is no center there. They've been trying to shift between Robin Lopez, Channing Frye, and he has a chance right there to build on this game. Followed up by Golden State and Sacramento and Minnesota next week, Andrew Bynum could really have a chance to get into really good rhythm heading into the playoff part of the season.
Lakers line is brought to you in part by Saboba Casino. Text the word Saboba to 40705 for a chance to win $710 in free slot play. Saboba Casino, where winning is just the beginning. Everything got going early with Pau Gasol's jumper to start the game.
Kobe gives to Gasol mid-post right. Gasol faces on Bargnani. Turns, dumps inside, intended for Kobe, deflected back to Gasol. Shoots from the elbow and hits. Ties the game at two.
Yeah, 4 of 11 shooting, not ideal for Pau Gasol, but still, overall a productive night. 17 points, 9 rebounds, a block shot, an assist. And I'll kind of take everyone's numbers tonight, Brian. If you look at them just in a vacuum, I kind of take them. I'll take them every night and expect the victory.
Yeah, you would take them every night. I tell you, they were helped out by Hedo Turkoglu. Really had an off night. He looked like he was going to get it going because very early on he loaded up for a three.
Bosch guarded by Bynum. Artest comes to double. Right wing Turkoglu, a three. Good. And it's 8-2 Raptors.
Action in the second. Then it became Bargnani, and that looked like, oh no, here we go. They started raining down threes, and he loaded up.
Here's Turkoglu dribbling right. Jump pass off a double to Bargnani. Open three. Good. And the Raptors have retaken the lead, 40-39.
Huge difference in three-pointers. The Raptors shot 40% from three-point range. The Lakers just 20%, 3 of 15, the Lakers from three-point land. So the Raptors were able to use the long-range shooting to keep themselves in the game.
And action in the third, very quiet first half for Lamar Odom. Finished the game with 10 points on 4 of 8, but really didn't get it going until the second half.
Artest guarded by Sonny Weems, dribbles baseline, kicks right wing Falmar, pump faking, one dribble, passes to Odom. Odom shuffles down the paint, up, and banks it in.
And again, they were able to sort of fire back. And, you know, you got to give this Toronto team credit. Early on, and I would say about the midway through the third quarter, you heard Spiro Dias say, if you're listening to the broadcast, the Lakers are going to have to take this game away. Toronto is not going to give it to them, and they did not. They fought this thing and really stepped on the gas late, halfway through the third into the fourth, and this game became in doubt.
Phoenix has the big reputation for being the fast-paced team in the NBA, but the Raptors are right there with them. They play a 7 seconds or less style where teams tend, like the Lakers, to just kind of be with them and try and play that same kind of style as opposed to ratcheting down on defense. When they really decided to bear down, that's when the Lakers were able to make up the difference, especially at the start of that third.
Bargnani did it again, and this really looked like the turning point. He brought the Raptors within two in the fourth.
Lakers trap Calderon in the front court. Calderon a jump pass right corner for Bosch. Bosch attacks baseline. Hands off into Bargnani, up and hits the floater.
Clutch shot by Bargnani.
Boy,
under
defensive
pressure.
Breakdown there. It's a two-point Lakers lead. Michael, how do you give up an open shot from the block in that scenario?
But one of the things that happens, it seemed to be, has been a theme on Lakers' line all this year, has been the play of Derek Fisher tonight. 2 of 5, 7 points. But this is what Derek Fisher seems to have an uncanny ability to do.
Raptors a new shot clock. Artest hanging on Bosch. They work at the jack, left wing Turkoglu. Turkoglu driving. Kick out pass intercepted by Fisher. And a blocking foul charge to Jose Calderon. 30 seconds left. Lakers 104, Raptors 102.
Derek Fisher had 7 points, just a rebound, just an assist, couple of steals, including that one that you just heard. 2 of 5 shooting. So you would think on the surface, not a great night for Derek Fisher, but boy, he always seems to be in the right spot at the exact right time to make a play that impacts the game just like he did right there.
And again, give Toronto credit down on the other end of the floor, Chris Bosch loading up for a three-pointer. I mean, this is Chris Bosch, by the way, loading up for his second three-pointer of the game.
Raptors are out of timeouts, must inbound. They do. Inbound to Calderon. 15 seconds, Lakers by three. Calderon straight away, hands to Bosch, will shoot a three, buries it. 9 seconds. That's his second three tonight. The most unlikely of heroes for Toronto, certainly from that distance. Chris Bosch, just his 8th three-point basket this season.
Now, Brian, I know the Lakers have Kobe Bryant there to take the last shot, but when Bosch hit that three-pointer, I thought maybe it's just not meant to be this season for the Lakers against the Raptors.
You know, you would think that, and certainly it looked like the game was going to go away from this Laker team, that the momentum had shifted on that three. Give Kobe Bryant credit.
Artest unguarded. Inbounds to Gasol right side. Gasol hands to Kobe. Right wing against Antoine Wright. 5 seconds. Curling. Hanging. Shooting. And sticks it from the baseline. 1.9 seconds.
That's why Kobe Bryant is the most cold-blooded shooter killer in the game today. That's it. Because remember, against Orlando, he had a shot. It missed. Went down to, seconds ticking off the clock. He doesn't get rattled. It's short-term memory. Forget about that. Move on to the next shot. He was presented with the opportunity again, and he knocked it down.
That's six game winners for Kobe Bryant so far this season. And this one has to be one of the toughest shots that he had.
He had no room. Hey, yeah, there was no room.
Yeah, no room at all. Falling. Can you be amazed anymore?
No, you can't be. And
it's kind of like commonplace, right?
I do think that people, you know, don't lose sight of that very fact. A lot of guys don't want the ball at the end of the game. That's a common knowledge. They don't want to take that shot. They don't want that pressure. Kobe certainly falls in the category of a guy who wants the shot. He wants the pressure, and that's what makes him great. But he's also a guy that doesn't get rattled when it's not falling for him or when he misses a big shot, as he did not knock down the shot in Orlando. He turns around and knocks it down tonight. Just pretty amazing.
And it was a pretty perfect night for Kobe. 32 points on 11 of 20 shooting, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Very balanced all the way through.
Lakers Eye brought to you in part by Metro PCS. $40, period. Unlimited talk, text, web. What you see is what you pay. That means $40 includes all taxes and regulatory fees. Never sign a contract. $40, period. Another reason Metro PCS is wireless for all. Metro PCS, unlimit yourself. 877-710-ESPN. We'll get to your phone calls tonight, your reaction. Lakers do win 109-107. We'll go back inside Staples Center. Phil Jackson's comments still to come. Plus, more locker room reaction. He's A. Martinez. I'm Brian Long. We're live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live on 710 ESPN Sports Radio for LA.
710 ESPN's Verizon Wireless Lakers line. Live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live. 877-710 ESPN. Here are Brian Long and A. Martinez.
And Lakers shoot around. Roy from Oxnard called and said the Lakers would shoot 45%. Simon of LA said 47. Lakers shot 44.9. Roy of Oxnard, you do win. Congratulations. On your accuracy, you were the closest without going over. You win a $100 gift card from Roger Dunn. If you want to get more accurate with your golf game, visit rdgolf.com. 877-710-ESPN. Lakers do win tonight by two. 109-87. Kobe Bryant doing it again.
Artest unguarded. Inbounds to Gasol right side. Gasol hands to Kobe. Right wing against Antoine Wright. 5 seconds. Curling. Hanging. Shooting. And sticks it from the baseline. 1.9 seconds.
Just an incredible shot again for Kobe Bryant. His sixth game winner of the season. And in a game that there's all kinds of little things to nitpick, pick apart a little bit, terrible three-point shooting for the Lakers, 20%, 3 of 15. They seem to struggle to keep up with the Toronto Raptors, especially in the first half, had to really rally in the second half to just get themselves in a position to win this game. Did it defensively, at least at the start of the third. In the end, they got the victory, snapped the three-game losing streak. Now, I'm telling you, Brian, they've got an easy stretch of games where they need to get back into that crush inferior opponent's mode.
Well, they were down by 58-50, shooting 41% in that first half. It looked bleak at times, but they did find their way to come back and get this W on the floor. 877-710-ESPN. Let us go to a Mike. You are on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you? How about yourself?
Good, man.
There's two things I also want to bring up. The first thing, great shot by Kobe. Words can't even explain. I mean, what he's done this year when it came down to the clutch. Second thing, even though that's a great shot, if they depend on that to win almost every game, then I just see nothing but trouble for them that they depend on Kobe. Just to do that, just able to win. They were playing the Raptors. And I understand, they've been struggling late, but, this is like the Raptors. And I just think they're in that mindset of just coasting. They're just in that mindset of coasting. And, you have Denver and Dallas. There's only, two or three games behind them. You know, they can't afford to lose games like that.
You know what's interesting to me, Mike, is when I watch this game, I'm seeing points – where there looks like there's starting to be sprouts of frustration. I mean, Pau Gasol sitting on the bench late on the fourth, with didn't come back in until only a couple minutes to go, and there looks like there's some concern.
And then one other thing before you guys let me go. One also other thing that I thought when they play better, and I don't know if this is Phil Jackson just being arrogant, but they seriously, Bynum and Gasol, I just do not believe can mesh together because it clogs up too much space on the court. When they put Odom in there, the offense ran a little bit better, and I just don't think they should start Odom over Bynum.
Well, at the very least, when Odom was in there, he got more involved in the game. I mean, he was absolutely a non-factor in the first half of this game. Came in, I will say, from a more fluid standpoint, of a versatility standpoint, he seemed to fit better in a moment. But look, this was not about the play of Bynum tonight. He was 8 of 12, 22 points. Pau Gasol, 4 of 11, finished with 17. Collectively, 11 rebounds, or check that, 17 rebounds. 15 rebounds as I'm doing my math, looking at it backwards. 15 rebounds between the two of them.
In the end, I've thought about it. I've gone back and forth on starting Odom and making Bynum the guy off the bench. I think Bynum is better suited to be a starter than Lamar is going into that starting role. It's better to have Lamar in the secondary role coming off the bench with that impact that he can have than having Bynum in that role.
Yeah, but the problem is, he has to have an impact. The difference is you can't have him come into the game and not be there for games, and that's the knock on Lamar. We've talked about a lot on Lakers Line. He's A. Martinez. I'm Brian Long, live from the ESPN Zone, LA Live on 710 ESPN. He's probably been the number one topic of conversation outside of some of the inconsistencies surrounding Derek Fisher. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to be a feature target on that second unit, if you're going to be a primary player on that second unit, then you got to get primary effort every time you step on the floor. And I've heard Michael Thompson speak to this a lot. You can tell how Lamar is going to play, and I completely agree with him. If he's settling for jump shots, if he's fading out on the perimeter, that's not where he's the most effective he can be. He can knock down those shots, but when you get him close to the rack, you get him close in the post, all of a sudden he's a mismatch for almost everybody that he's going to go against.
It's that length. He has the speed, the quick first step, and then that move to the basket where his arms are so long that it's a couple of inches away from the hoop. All he needs to do is flick it in, and usually no one can really stand up to that. And it doesn't matter how good you are defensively. It's tough to defend when Lamar Odom decides to aggressively go to the hoop.
Lakers Line is brought to you in part by CareMore Medical. Help more, heal more, care more. It's what we do. Visit CareMore.com today for information on your health care needs. Let's go to Catherine. Catherine, you are on the Verizon Wireless Lakers Line. How you doing?
I'm doing a little bit better, but I have to agree of one point, the last caller, about Dallas is all of a sudden winning 12 in a row. We can't afford to lose half games here and there to them.
Yeah, but you know what, Catherine, this is really about the Lakers handling what they need to do. Right now the Lakers don't need to be looking in the rearview mirror to Dallas or Denver or anybody else. Right now they're pacing four games ahead of Dallas. Yes, the gap is shrinking. Dallas has gotten better. Denver believes that they are a much better team and they can catch the Lakers. What the Lakers have to do is get themselves right now.
I also agree, but I really I can't blame the rest for everything. But Powell was fouled, obviously, and he was very frustrated. I think Frank Hamlin actually got a technical for responding to the referees. But there needs to be consistency at both ends. We can't blame the refs for everything, but we can't overlook them for anything as well. And it kind of frustrated me. Yet again, it was almost like it was 7-6.
Yeah, but Gasol had his shorts grabbed by, I forget who it was, that grabbed him, but they had his shorts in a ball in their hand, pulling him down.
You know what? The officials, unfortunately, are going to make calls that are going to go for the Lakers. They're going to make calls that go against the Lakers. It happens to every team. The reality of it is you got to find ways to push through it. You got to find ways to win. The Lakers tonight should not have been within 2 points on their home floor, needing a win, frankly, after losing three straight to the Toronto Raptors, that it would even come to a situation where we're arguing about, man, that call should have been made. Ultimately, the Lakers tonight didn't seize moments where they could have distanced themselves for Toronto, and Toronto played great ball. They hung right with the Lakers at Staples Center, a tough place to play, and they delivered tonight what was almost enough of an effort to win that game.
When you think about the calls, and we've brought it up a million times, do you think, and I know you get angry a little bit, Brian, when I bring this up, but do you think, honestly, if you had to guess right now, yes or no, are refs still holding that comment against Andrew Bynum?
You know, it's no. I mean,
no. You really think they don't care?
Well, I mean, they
about what he said.
Look, I think officials look at this stuff. They don't care any more than they cared about Rasheed Wallace when he was crying over every technical. They don't care. I mean, yeah, he's on the radar. I mean, he's put himself on the radar. I don't think they're going out of their way to try to foul out Andrew Bynum. I mean, tonight he had three fouls, effective game, 22 points. If there's really a conspiracy theory out to, or something covert out there to get him out of the game, they get him out of the game. I mean, you're playing in the post, you're banging into people all the
time.
There
were no fouls called in the. Was there any fouls called in the first quarter in this game?
No, there was not. Lakers Line brought to you in part by Hollywood Park Casino. Best place to play in L.A. Visit playhpc.com to register for the next 710 ESPN Poker Tournament, and you could win a seat in the 2010 World Series of Poker. We will talk about that very subject tomorrow, though, on Lakers Zone Special Edition on Wednesday. But this is Lakers Line. We'll get to more of your phone calls back inside Staples Center. Phil Jackson's comments about tonight's win, all that's still to come. He's A. Martinez. I'm Brian Long. Lakers do win by two, 109-107. More of your phone calls next. We're live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live on 710 ESPN Sports Radio for LA.
710 ESPN, KSPN AM HD Los Angeles, and streaming worldwide at ESPNLosAngeles.com. Sports Radio for LA and beyond. 710 ESPN's Verizon Wireless Lakers Line continues live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live. Here are Brian and A.
Artest unguarded, inbounds to Gasol right side. Gasol hands to Kobe. Right wing against Antoine Wright. 5 seconds, curling, hanging, shooting, and sticks it from the baseline. 1.9 seconds.
And Kobe Bryant is our VIP, very important player of the game. Tomorrow morning, listen to the herd in the 9 o'clock hour. Text in when you hear Collins cue to call. It is your shot at a pair of Laker tickets from the only place to get Laker tickets, the official ticket provider of a Lakers Line, VIP Tickets. Check them out online at VIPtickets.com. Again, tomorrow morning, listen to Colin Cowherd in the 9 o'clock hour to win those Laker tickets. Text in when you hear the cue to call. Let's go back inside Staples Center. Phil Jackson with the media.
Boz stepped out and hit that three, and everybody's heart sunk a little bit, but you were able to he'll get the ball to the place he wanted to shoot it, and he made the shot again.
Kobe's game winner. Obviously, is it a bailout at this point? I mean, were you happy with the team tonight?
There were points of the game I was very happy with their aggressiveness, their defense. I got to, start getting a piece of the ball, a piece of the guys coming through the picks, doing a good job. And they tested us in all those sequences or areas. I wasn't happy with our identification at times on certain players. Our offensive execution versus a zone at times I thought was impatient and poorly shots. We had 12 fast break points the first half that, I'm unhappy about, but we gave up 2 the second, which is a much better result. And, turnovers were 9, et cetera. So there are many good things that we did in this game. We didn't shoot the ball well. We didn't shoot three-pointers well. Those are things that, we're going to have to start doing a much better job.
So how happy are you with the defense right now? You guys had your discussion at practice Saturday about fan base. Do you think identifying players, shooters, after tonight's game, were you satisfied that it's progressing?
Well, I looked at the coaching staff and just in the last minute of the game and said, look, they've only got 100 points, 102, whatever they had at the time. We're keeping them 3 below their average now if we can hold them off. Of course, we didn't. They had 5 more points, I guess, in that sequence. But This is a team that scores. They're a scoring team. They have a three-point shooting barrage out there. They can do that on a given night, and they certainly did against us tonight.
Do you remember Kobe having this many game winners in one season?
I haven't kept track.
Half dozen.
That's a sound number.
That's quite a body of work.
Yeah, I wish it was 12, to be honest with you.
You went with Drew a long time throughout the fourth.
He was playing well. If you're a coach and the guy's playing well, you better have him in the game. Defensively, I wanted Powell in at the end to try and cover Bosch when he shot the three and some other things that happened out there. But, you know, Drew played well. Got tired a little bit.
What happened with Fish and Powell at the end there? Where
Powell showed on the play and Calderon bodied him off, held him off, and dropped the ball in the gave the ball in a pivot to Bosch for an open shot. And, you know, there was some contesting, but it wasn't close enough.
Are you getting the feeling that Drew is starting to understand a little bit more about what he needs to do to be able to get, you know, more extended fourth quarter?
Well, you know, it's all game by game, plan by plan. And, you know, I was very disappointed after he scored a number of times. We went away from him, didn't score three or four times consecutively there in the fourth quarter after, you know, he really played well. Simply by them fronting the post, which is something that we certainly can take advantage of, and we had poor execution at that particular time and didn't get it done.
Coach, three games in a row that were lost, and they come home and they're playing a team that's just a little bit above 500. Just kind of say that it's not going to be like a light switch where the team just suddenly gets it together. It's going to be a process.
Looks like that, doesn't it? You know, I can't comment on that as far as what reality is or what's going to happen on Friday night, whatever, as we go through the rest of this week. But, there was, you know, the period of time when I thought, well, we're looking like we're going to play this game the right way in the first quarter. We came out and, you know, spoiled it in the second quarter. And that's kind of what I was talking about pregame and has happened to us lately.
So a couple guys said yesterday at practice that you're getting good looks. Shots just aren't falling. Today you said just make some shots. What's the nature of that? Is that being on the road, not having...
Oh, there's so many things. We have five guys with hand injuries. That alone you can start talking about that kind of stuff. We have rhythm problems. We have guys holding the ball too long. You know, we have passing that's not accurate. You know, there's so many things that go into, you know, just that besides, you know, picking that ball out and shooting the ball and, you know, having good rhythm in it individually. It's all a setup situation and can be set up by your teammate, by the rhythm of the ball, by the knowledge of the, you know, where the players are on the floor. I don't think so. I think that's impossible to, you know, replicate at this time. You know, there's something that's, you know, was a driving force last year that kept us on that, you know, goal-oriented, I would say. And, you know, we don't have that. Not that we can't reclaim it at some point, and that's what we're trying to do.
How do you reclaim it?
Well, you know, there are a number of ways that, you know, we can find our way through this. I mean, some of it's just about, you know, communication between the players. Some of it's just about, you know, having that spark that happens between collaboration between players. And some of it's about, you know, making the games exciting for ourselves. You know, those are things that I think that are, you know, sometimes get to be the drudgery of the NBA, the 65 games in, you know, that kind of thing. And it's hard to keep that spark going, but, you know, the urgency of playing well has not struck us yet. That's important.
Was there an effort to try to, run Kobe off the ball a little bit more to get him shots that way? It seemed at least like he was not initiating the offense as much as he was at least.
I thought he did a lot the first half. In the first quarter, I thought initially he got, you know, like everybody, shots. Fish a couple shots, Ron a shot, you know, that kind of stuff.
Later
in the game, no. There was an effort to, you know, have him moving and, you know, not the perpetrator all the time off the dribble.
Do you prefer that late?
I thought it would be a little bit better because we'd stay inside of our offense and, you know, use the format that we have. Sometimes we turn the ball over like we did the first half, get runouts because poor shots in the sequence ends up without good court balance. And that's what happened in those sequences sometimes.
Why should that Frank get that technical foul for you?
Say what?
Why should that Frank get that technical foul?
For me?
Yeah, did he get it for you?
No, he got it for himself. He likes to pay those things. Not surprised. Powell's not a guy that gets tacticals, and neither is Frank.
Felt like Kobe told about the game over by himself the last 6 minutes. Most of the shots, I think, were just normal, but it looked like at times that the teammates wouldn't even look to shoot the ball.
Yeah, that's something we have to remedy. I mean, there's sequence where you know, Lamar had an opportunity, Drew had an opportunity, they didn't take the opportunities. Ron took a shot that was not an errant shot. You know, those are things that, you know, we have to straighten out. You know, Powell really never got back into it the fourth quarter offensively, but you know, those are the guys that had opportunities.
All right, Lakers do win tonight, 109-107. Lakers Line brought to you by Custom Comfort Mattress. Resting on a family tradition of over 25 years, we don't sleep well unless we know you do. Visit CustomComfortMattress.com for a store near you. We'll come back, get more of your phone calls in tonight. Lakers find a way against a team that wasn't going to give it up. He's A. Martinez. I'm Brian Long. We're live from the ESPN Zone, LA Live, on 710 ESPN Sports Radio for LA.
710 ESPN's Verizon Wireless Lakers Line. Live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live. 877-710-ESPN. Here are Brian Long and A. Martinez.
Raptors are out of timeouts. Must inbound. They do. Inbound to Calderon. 15 seconds. Lakers by three. Calderon straight away. Hands to Bosch. Will shoot a three. Buries it. 9 seconds. Artest unguarded, inbounds to Gasol right side. Gasol hands to Kobe, right wing against Antoine Wright. 5 seconds, curling, hanging, shooting, and sticks it from the baseline. 1.9 seconds.
Who win tonight? 109-107. Kobe Bryant doing it again for the sixth time this year, knocking down a game winner. It's time for you to try your hand at the Morongo Casino Resort three-pointer. Text the word Morongo to 40705 and answer three trivia questions correctly for a shot to win a two-night stay. We'll announce our next three-point champion coming up next game. Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Enjoy progressive table games. And remember, you always get the most cash back and the best rewards at Morongo.
And Doug Mann's stat of the game tonight, the Raptors held to just 13 of 36 field goals in the second half, and the Lakers just committed three turnovers in the second half. So they held on to the ball a little bit better, played better defense, combined the two, and you get a two-point victory.
All right, let's go to Fullerton. Eric's been holding. Eric, you are on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. How are you?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
Very good.
I just wanted to talk about maybe this whole Sasha Vujicic experiment. I don't really, you know, like how it's going. I was thinking maybe why don't they try and go out and get Larry Hughes? I think he's still available out there.
Larry Hughes couldn't play for the Knicks.
Sasha couldn't play in the NBA if he wasn't on the Lakers, I'll tell you the truth. I don't think he's an NBA quality player.
Well, remember now, I mean, for the record, Eric, he has just come back from the injury. Tonight was his first game back. Look, he struggled. He struggled actually for the last 2 years.
Right.
The reality with Sasha is this. He's out on the floor to knock down shots and play defense. If he's not knocking down shots, then unfortunately,
which he's not.
Yeah, then unfortunately, the problem becomes where does he fit into all of this? And tonight, I mean, Sasha played 2.5 minutes. I mean, 2.5 minutes in the effort. Appreciate it though, Eric. 877-710 ESPN. Certainly, the Lakers' woes right now are not centered around Sasha Vujicic
or getting Larry Hughes.
But I will say this, Sasha, when he, you know, 2 years ago when he got the prior to the deal, one of the things he gave them was a big boost off the bench when he would come in and he would knock down shots. So to that end, he has started to, you know, you're not getting a whole lot there. And this Laker team, again, struggles at times to get flows going outside of their starting five. Let's go to Manhattan Beach. Ron, you are on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. Thanks for holding. How are you?
I'm well, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk about some of the weaknesses that the Lakers had last year and have more of this year that I think the better teams in the league are going to be able to exploit, particularly in the playoffs. One, their transition game. Two, weakness at point guard defensively and offensive punch, not just with Fisher, but with some of the other depth. And third, their inability to consistently get the ball into Gasol or Bynum without turning the ball over. And fourth, which is related to that, is the lack of ball movement that I see. I think they're really missing Ariza off the bench. And although Odom is still a punch, he doesn't seem to be enough with Farmar and Brown not holding their own lately. And I want to get some feedback from you because I think there's teams in the league like Dallas, Denver, San Antonio, of course, Orlando, Miami, and Boston, not to mention, of course, Cleveland, that are going to be able to take it to them and sag in, and their three-point shooting has been horrific.
But, Ron, wasn't point guard the weakness last year? That really hasn't changed that much.
It was.
Or at all, actually.
They seem to have the punch off the bench that they did before. So when they pull Fisher, who I know that he's Jackson's favorite, and I know he's gone after this year because his contract is up, but they really don't have a replacement for him. And look at the stats tonight. Bynum had a great game. Gasol didn't have a great shooting percentage, but he pulled down some rebounds. He did score some points. Kobe shot over 50%, made a game-winning shot, and they barely won against a team they're supposed to beat pretty handily.
Well, you're right about this, Ron. There was nothing coming off the bench tonight for this Laker team outside of Odom, who had 10. They got to 5 from Brown, and Farmar, again, as of late, has been struggling with the shot. The only thing I would say in terms of what is not happening, supposedly happening by what Ron was just saying down low tonight, I mean, Gasol, look, 11 or 17 and 9, you would take that. Andrew Bynum, 22 and 6, maybe you'd like a few more rebounds in that. But the reality of it is, that's a big night for him. They both played very well in
the
post.
Yeah, and I'm starting to get a little annoyed when anybody says that, they should have beat that team pretty handily and they only got a two-point win. You're getting to the point of the season where it kind of doesn't matter how impressive you look as long as you get the victory. In the playoffs start, if you get 16 ugly one-point wins, you're the NBA champion, and anybody from any team would take that in a second.
All right, let's go to Encino. Ron, you're on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. How are you?
Good, Brian. Hey, how you doing?
Great, man.
Well, I'm listening to Phil Jackson's interview, and I'm listening to the talk on the radio constantly, and everything seems to be like 80-90% on offense. You know, they're not shooting the ball, they're not doing this, the bench is that. I don't hear enough about defense. And
yeah,
maybe I'm old school or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, I'm curious to know on the Lakers' opponents on average what their average opponent's scores were last season versus what their average opponent scores were for this season so far.
Ron, how old of a man are you?
Well, I'm going to be hitting 60 in April.
Okay, yeah, you're old school.
Thanks a lot.
In case you were wondering. But you're right.
Buckled.
You're right about the defense. At the start of the third quarter, the Lakers came out and played. They were playing pressure defense, and it started to turn their favor because the Raptors weren't able to handle it. They were turning the ball over, and the Lakers were able to make a run to get themselves back in the game. But I just don't understand, against a team like Toronto that doesn't like to play defense, that relies on a lot of flow in the offense because they like to run up and down the court, why didn't they do that most of the game?
That's what I keep asking myself and asking friends of mine, and I got into it at Staples today with a guy sitting next to me, the same thing. It's so frustrating because they think they can just pull the trigger on the flip of a coin and just light it up on defense and shut people down, and like, they're not locking anybody down.
Well, they got away with it a little bit tonight, but yeah, got away with it is the way I would describe
and
it.
And I can almost guarantee you, Ron, you've seen enough games to know. I mean, defense is about focus and it's about effort, and when you go out and you make the concerted effort to lock a team down, you decide you're going to, that's exactly what happens. You lock them down, your defense, and typically good things result on the offensive end that happen first from the defensive end. And you can see when the Lakers start ratcheting it down, good things happen, turnovers, and they're able to get transition buckets.
Teams like the Raptors, the Pacers, the Phoenix Suns, the Warriors, they rely on the ability to draw teams into their style, to say, okay, let's not play defense for tonight. Let's run up and down the court, score as many points as we can, and see who winds up with the most at the end of the game. And the Lakers, as disciplined as they are, they're a championship team. They fall into that trap a lot of the times and all of a sudden have to rally in the third and fourth quarter and play a lot of defense to try and get themselves back in a game. It's happened too many times this season, and I don't understand why they don't recognize it.
All right, let's get Gil in from L.A. Gil, you're on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. How are you? Gil, are you there? All right, Gil is not. Let's go to Mario in Roland Heights. Mario, you're on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I just wanted to go back to that guy I was talking about, defense, because I've been to a couple of games and I watched it on TV. It seems that the breakdown is communication. If you notice, when Farmer's in the game too and Powell's on the top, it seems like Farmer's guiding his man to him, and then there's a breakdown that way. And then when Brown's in the game, he's rooting his man to Bynum, and the breakdown becomes they're not communicating. If you notice sometimes, too, when they do penetrate, Powell and Farmer are talking, and they say, "What? I thought you were going to go this way or that way," or vice versa with Bynum and the other players. Have you guys seen that, too?
Well, I saw tonight, Mario, one of the interesting points throughout this game was when Powell came off the bench, leaned over to Phil Jackson and said, essentially, put me in the game, and Phil Jackson, for all intent and purpose, I obviously can't read his lips, but looked like it said, sit down. There is some communication issues. Phil Jackson talked about it in his postgame comments. Part of the issues are centering around exactly what you just said. I mean, there are some communication issues that are still plaguing this team on the court.
Yeah, you would think that by this time they would already have it packed from last year too, that it just, you know, flows already. But
yeah,
but
you know what the difference is, Mario, and really appreciate the call. I think the difference in a lot of this is people forget. They played a lot this year without all their pieces, more so than last year. Last year, it was pretty intact with the exception of Bynum with the injury. They were playing every night with the same pieces. There's been a lot of this guy's gone for five games, this guy's gone for seven. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but you know, it's enough time now.
Well,
they should be all in a proper flow.
I'm just giving a difference this year as comparison to last year. I have no idea why there are communication breakdowns. Only the team out there would know why there are communication breakdowns between each other.
Have they not practiced together? Have they not spent time together?
Well, yeah, of course they have.
You would think you'd know each other. Look at us. We're together all the time. We know each other, don't we?
How's
our communication between us?
Yeah, someone question. Let's go to Covina, Chris, last caller tonight. Chris, you're on the Verizon Wireless Lakers line. How you doing?
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I just want to point out that looking at these last four games, when especially what Phil Jackson was mentioning about communication on the court and court balance, I just go back to, yeah, we need bench, but we need it from Luke Walton. And I feel like Luke Walton was that, like, piece of the puzzle that made everything flow as far as getting guys facilitating the ball properly, getting Farmar and Shannon Brown involved. He would dribble to the court. You know, dribble to the basket, not looking to shoot, but looking to dish out or make that proper pass.
I will say this, Chris. Let me jump in for a second because we got to hit a break. I don't think the reason they're winning or losing is simply based on Luke Walton and his minutes in this offense. I will tell you this. He does pass extremely well. Passes great inside
looks
the triangle.
Pass.
Right. So that part of it, I will give there may be some credence to the fact that they miss him. But right now, things that are on the starting five, they're still trying to find that balance, eh? That balance between Kobe shooting a lot, the rest of the team getting involved. But tonight, no one can complain in terms of not getting touches. Pau Gasol got 11. Andrew Bynum got 12 touches. 22 points for Bynum, 17 points for Pau Gasol, 32 out of 20 touches for Kobe Bryant. We'll come back. We'll get the McDonald's defensive play of the game. And we'll wrap this one up. It is Verizon Wireless Lakers line. Lakers win 109-107 over the Raptors on 710 ESPN Sports Radio for L.A.
Live from the ESPN Zone at L.A. Live, this is 710 ESPN's Verizon Wireless Lakers line. Here are Brian Long and A. Martinez.
We knew it was going to be an isolation. And, he doesn't like to have screen rolls because it brings somebody else there. And we ran at him anyway, and he saw the trap coming and escaped away from it and hit a tough shot. Great player, and it's no secret that he's going to he's going to take the shot there and that they're going to run the play for him. And, you know, we've all seen it happen, and he's put in the time and the effort with his work that he's become pretty efficient at doing it. And, you know, we dodged one in Toronto when he had a shot at the buzzer, and tonight we ran two guys at him, and he still makes it. So sometimes you tip your hat.
Jay Triano talking about Kobe Bryant and what exactly happened as he was able to get himself open, and he thinks he knows the solution.
If you want to watch it, we don't think, you know, he got the ball, but how did he get the ball? You know, our guy's a little bit out of position because he pushes off to get it, and he's going to do that whether you have one, two, or three guys on him. So, no, our idea was to run two guys at him, and we had to wait for our one guy to recover from the push before we could run the second guy out.
I love it when coaches complain about that. Look, he's got a superstar in Chris Bosh.
Sure.
Bosh has never pushed off on someone to get a shot down low. I think it's happened to Bosh, and he's gotten away with it a couple of times this year.
And Kobe Bryant's thoughts.
Offensive, I mean, we scored a lot of points tonight. But yeah, that's, it's not going championships. You got to stop people. And, you know, we didn't do a good job of this night.
It really does come down to defense, doesn't it, Kobe?
Every time. And if it didn't, we would have won back-to-back championships 2 years ago and last year. So,
Kobe, take us through the final shot you took.
Well, I was just surveying the floor a little bit. You know, figured they were going to double me early, so I wanted the ball in a position where I could, you know, see my cutters. And, you know, they didn't come early. And, yeah, that gave me the opportunity to escape baseline once they did come and knock down a shot.
Kobe, I asked your coach, why didn't you triple team me to make sure you never touched the ball? And he said, well, we had enough hands up, but he pushed off hard enough where it didn't matter anyway. So how do you respond to something like that?
Thank you.
For?
For the compliment.
Oh, okay.
We also did say that, you know, one of the best players in the league, and the fact that you can double team, triple team, no matter what, you're going to knock down that shot. You just got to tip your hat. And you get the accolades from other coaches. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. You know, I've obviously worked long hours at that shot, so, you know, it feels good to get the respect from my peers.
Kobe, moments like these, as great as they are for you, do they ever come mixed with frustration that it has to come with that?
You know, sure. You know, the important thing is that we got out of here with a win. I mean, that's part of our responsibility here is to close games out. Here in Orlando, you know, same shot. You know, I just missed it. But it's my job to kind of bail us out when things go south.
But just having to bail out at all, though, it's not where you want to be.
It happens. I mean, that's why baseball has closers.
Kobe, are you surprised, though, that you guys didn't come out harder, you know, a little more intense in this game, considering coming off a three-game trip like that?
Well, you know, Toronto is a tough team to really measure because they're very versatile. They don't have anybody in the middle. You know, everybody's on the perimeter and operating from that position, so it's tough to put your body on people. So it was kind of tough to get a hold of them. You know, it's like a fighter that just continually dancing around the ring. And so from that standpoint, you know, it was good preparation for Phoenix, though, because you're going to see the same thing in Phoenix.
Kobe Bryant giving his thoughts about tonight as he does knock down the game winner brings us to the McDonald's defensive play of the game.
710 ESPN's Lakers Line presents the McDonald's defensive play of the game. From the finest potatoes, crispy on the outside, warm and fluffy on the inside. McDonald's world-famous fries. Enjoy them with an icy cold Coke at McDonald's. I'm loving it. Now the McDonald's defensive play of the game.
Raptors the new shot clock. Artest hanging on Bosh. They work it to Jack, left wing Turkoglu. Turkoglu driving. Kick out pass intercepted by Fisher. And a blocking foul charge to Jose Calderon. 30 seconds left. Lakers 104, Raptors 102.
Huge moment in the game as Derek Fisher jumped into the passing lane and really stopped what Toronto had going because Bosh didn't hit that big three prior.
And Kobe, in what you just heard there, foreshadowed what the Lakers have ahead of them. They got the Phoenix Suns on Friday, and the Toronto Raptors are a good test case for the Suns. Suns are a little bit better than the Raptors, playing the same kind of style, but then Golden State on Monday, Sacramento on Tuesday, then Friday against Minnesota. The Lakers should use this win against the Raptors as a nice little springboard to go on a nice little winning streak to maybe to keep some space between themselves and the Mavericks.
All right, Lakers win tonight 109-107. Make your plans tomorrow. It is the Lakers Zone Show, the Kia Motors Lakers Zone Show, live 7 to 10 here from the ESPN Zone LA Live. A. Martinez and myself, Brian Long. We will take all your calls for three straight hours and get into all about this Laker team as we get ready to make the push into the playoffs. Lakers Line is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the most reliable wireless for an affordable price. Get plans that work for you and your budget with Verizon Wireless, America's largest and most reliable wireless network. I want to thank Frank Laffarelli tonight, along with Julio Mortaya, Jared Diglio, X-Ray, and the entire staff down here at the ESPN Zone. We'll be back tomorrow. He's A. Martinez. I'm Brian Long. You've been listening to the Verizon Wireless Lakers Line on 710 ESPN Sports Radio for L.A.
You've been listening to 710 ESPN's Verizon Wireless Lakers Line, live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live. Join us following every Lakers game home and away. The Verizon Wireless Lakers Line is brought to you by Zoboba Casino, where winning is just the beginning.
U.S. Bank, proud broadcast sponsor of Lakers basketball.
Metro PCS, $40 period. Unlimited talk, text, web. Never sign a contract, $40 period. Metro PCS, unlimited yourself.
Morongo Casino Resort, come stay and play. MorongoCasinoResort.com.
For complete Lakers coverage, log on to 710ESPN.com and listen every day to the flagship home of Los Angeles Lakers basketball. 710ESPN.
Anquan Boldin tells Mike and Mike why he's no longer a Cardinal.
Why did you feel like it was a time for a change and getting out of Arizona?
As far as relationship with the organization, things began to sour. There were some promises that were made, and, you know, some sacrifices on my part, and they just didn't live up to the end of the bargain.
Was that with Ken Whisenhunt? Specifically, was it with the coach you're talking about?
It was with the decision makers, I would say, for the Cardinal.
Wake up early with Mike and Mike in the morning, Wednesday morning until 7.
710 ESPN, I'm Steve Mason.
And I'm John Ireland. After one game at home, the Lakers are off on another three-game road trip. It starts Friday night against the Suns in Phoenix.
The Kia Motors Lakers Shootaround Show starts at 4 o'clock.
Spiro and Michael have all the play-by-play beginning at 6.
And listen for John's reports from courtside.
After the game, it's Lakers Line. Brian Long, A. Martinez, live from the ESPN Zone at LA Live.
It's the Lakers and the Suns, live from Phoenix, Friday night. Coverage starts at 4 right here on 710 ESPN.
710 ESPN fans can stop by any of the 50 America's Tire locations in SoCal and register to win our Tires and Tickets contest. First place is 4 tickets to the Pro Basketball Playoffs in L.A., a set of 4 Michelin tires, and a $250 gift card to the ESPN Zone at L.A. Live. Other winners will receive a set of Michelin or Falcon tires. Contest ends March 28th. The Tires and Tickets contest is brought to you by America's Tire, America's largest independent tire dealer, and 710 ESPN, sports radio for LA. When it's game time, we actually play the games. This is the Lakers Station, 710 ESPN, sports radio for LA.